Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. We've got a very good show planned for you this evening. I just want to do a little housekeeping and say that it is indeed a pleasure to be back on the air. We do apologize. Last week we had some technical difficulties and we weren't able to have the show on last week. So all of my listening audience that was out there on last week, I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to extend my apologies for the technical difficulties that we encountered. But as always, I want to definitely thank you for your interest and your correspondence to us, the many of you all that did correspond in making an inquiry into what had gone wrong. Anyway, that show that we were scheduled to do on last week, we are in fact going to do it this week. And the show's topic is how to overcome your ex. How to overcome your ex. But just before we get into tonight's broadcast, I want to just go ahead and let you know that I have a website out there at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. You can certainly go in and listen to that, tune in to that. I certainly look forward to hearing some of your comments. We do life coaching, several things that we have out there. You can check out my book, After the Passion, Now What? It's backed by popular demand. Hasn't left, as a matter of fact. So that's available out there. So After the Passion, Now What? It's available in paperback and the companion workbook that goes along with it. I have a new venture that's coming out. It's called, this is a center. It's an educational center. It's called the Dr. Jesse Walker Center Senior Virtual International Center for Character Education. This is a project that I am undertaking that will likely be something that I stay with along with the radio show. And I am very, very excited about it. It's not a school, but it's a center. And we have seven levels that we deal with. We will be dealing with kids between the ages. Level one would be for kids between the ages or grade levels 2 through 5. Level two would be grades 6 through 8. Level 3 is grades 9 through 12. And then level 4, we deal with adolescents and adults. Level 5, we'll deal with parenting components, you know, parenting skills. We will also, level 6, we'll deal with mentoring. And level 7, we'll deal with coaching. So please check it out, drjessewalker.com. And I'm going to encourage you all to take a look at an inspirational story that's inspired by true events. And it's in my brochure. If you want to request more information, send us an email at online@drjessewalker.com. And we'll, or go to the comment section of drjessewalker.com, either one of those, and we'll send you some more information out on this. I'm going to read some of what I have here as drjessewalker.com and train up a child. It's Proverbs 22:6. This is just some of what we're doing for this program. Terrence was 7 years old when his parents divorced. He, along with two younger sisters, grew up in a home oftentimes absent of love, yet filled with abuse as they witnessed their father beat their mother because of his drunkenness. Years have passed, and Terrence is now 14 in eighth grade, and he has spent the past 3 years in five different middle schools because of his unruly and defiant behaviors. She regrets not raising her children in the church as she was raised in the church until her rebellion. That's his mother we're talking about. Instead, she believes greatly in choosing the road most traveled. In other words, overindulgence routinely on the party scene. Now, her own mother warned her that this could happen to her as a result of her rebelliousness. Now, the solemn words of her mother haunts her on a daily basis. Of course, results into her efforts to try and get Terrence into the church. Unfortunately, Terrence does not want anything to do with church or even school for that matter, which is why he dropped out by the 10th grade. He has taken on a set of friends whom he now calls his family. Terrence recently turned 18, and his mother makes the decision to put him out of the house because of his bad influence around his younger sisters, who are now also teenagers. Just when you thought matters could get even worse, a surprising twist takes place in this exciting, inspirational story when the power of a praying mother comes into play. Now, for more information on the positive twist to this story, you're going to have to log on to drjessewalker.com and click on Terrence's story. So go there and click on that and for the conclusion to this positive twist. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. I just want to go and check to see if my co-host is joining us this evening. Let me just, we're going to actually stand by. Ms. Blake, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Walker. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing today? We see a different number come up, and we weren't sure if that was your number or not. I trust all is going well for you.
Yes, yes. Just got off the road, and I'm ready to join you with the show and looking forward to an exciting conversation and discussion tonight.
All right. Great, great. You want to go ahead and give your commercial? And then we'll get right into the show.
Right. Very briefly, as you know, as everyone knows, the holiday season is fast approaching us, a time to be thankful, and then we kind of move into the Christmas season for those who do celebrate that holiday, along with other holidays such as Kwanzaa, et cetera. So it's a great time to give the gift of reading because I feel like books are the gifts that keeps on giving and can be passed on from generation to generation. So I encourage you to, if you know someone who really could use some advice about relationships, maybe who is starting over after getting out of a relationship, or maybe who just needs to feel like they need to make better choices. The book Falling in Love with Me is always an old favorite that can help you or help your friend or family member through some times that they may need advice about. And a lot of times people don't want to ask for advice, so they can read it. The best way to get the book, you can go to my website, which is fosteringleaders.org, or you can go to amazon.com. Both versions of the book, the e-book as well as the soft cover copy, which is only $9.99 actually, is available. Just type in Falling in Love with Me and Audrey Blake. As I mentioned before, there are some copycatters out there who have a similar name. But my book, of course, will have my name and also will have a heart on the cover. The most up-to-date edition is a black cover with a purple heart. There's also a white cover with a red heart, but both of them are mine. So I encourage you to, again, visit the website, fosterleaders.org, or you can go to amazon.com and just type in my name along with the name Falling in Love with Me. You look for the heart. If you want a great ebook also to read while you may be waiting on somebody, waiting at the beauty salon or whatever, Dying to Wake Up is also another ebook that you can find. Just type in Dying to Wake Up and Audrey Blake and you will find it. And that one is actually only $5.99 and you will be getting lots of great reading for a small price. That's it, Dr. Walker. Dr. Walker, are you there?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Now
okay.
We're going to get right.
Good.
We're going to get right into tonight's topic. Tonight
okay.
We're talking about how to overcome your ex. So we're going to talk about that. I'm sure many of us out there have had exes that we've had to deal with, or we've had relationships where we've had to break up from, and so now we're going to just talk about some of that, you know, and I'll start out with sometimes it can take years to overcome an ex. Why do you think that that's the case, Ms. Blake? Why do you think sometimes it can take a long time to overcome someone? In some cases, years. I've heard someone mention as much as they actually got married, had a number of children, and actually said that they never got over their ex. This person was married twice, never got over their first husband, and in fact thought that one day she and the ex-husband would get back together, even though he had married and moved on with his life. Why do you think people hold on to something that could be no longer?
I mean, to me it's pretty simple. They're in love. To me, it's not that complicated. That individual who is still holding on still loves that person.
All right, but then the reality of it becomes that there's a good chance that that love's not going to find those two back together again. Because I think that in one case, the person that I'm talking about, I think she was still in love with him, but he had moved on with his life and he was, I didn't get the impression that he was still in love with her because he never reached back out to her. So, and she just kept up with where he was just from friends that they once knew together. And so every two or three years she'd find out that maybe he was now living in this town. And, of course, it always seemed that him and his wife were still together. And I think that that gives a person false hope, that you're hoping for somebody else to just break up so that you can get maybe back with them or have a shot at it. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
It is false hopes, and the specific instance that you described, because that person is not available and does not want to be available. It would be different if maybe he was feeling the same way, then it was potential. But if there was not a mutual feeling, and in that instance, if I was a life coach for that person, I would strongly advise them as part of their plan to get counseling.
Okay. Ms. Blake, and I hear you say it oftentimes on here, and I probably have even inferred it myself, that people should get counseling. But and this is going to be a show that we do in the upcoming future. Is counseling a cure-all for all relationships? What do you think? I mean, I don't think so.
Well, in this particular instance, because, you know, I do have a background in psychology, but I don't profess to be a psychologist by far.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an individual thing. This is not a couple thing. This person has to come to terms with their own reality, because their current reality, their current perception is not the true reality. So if you're in love, you know, with a person who does not love you, who has moved on, who is not even giving you any inkling that they want you back or want you at all, then the problem lies within that person's psyche who's still in love and who's still hoping. And that's why you go to counseling, because a counselor can help you work through this and be able to deal with reality A lot of times when people are in denial, and I've been guilty of it myself, being in denial, it's a happy place, but denial is only a crutch not to deal with reality. And you've got to deal with reality. So the reality is this person doesn't love you anymore. It hurts, but it's real. So you need to learn how to deal with it.
Right, but I know that we say that it can be a crutch, but some people, you know, I wonder if self-esteem plays a role in that. And you know what, I'm going to venture to say, you know, my background in psychology, and I don't profess to be a psychologist either because I'm not, you know, licensed in that area. But I will say that I think sometimes that you just can have these strong feelings for someone, and you can actually hold on to those feelings, and maybe perhaps they don't view it as a crutch. You just feel the way that you feel. You feel so embedded into this person that there was such an impact that they made on your life at some point that you love them. And you can still be married to someone else and go about your daily functions being married to that other person. But your heart is still with that person. And it doesn't mean that you will want to be with them if they were, in fact, available. I've come across people like that. It doesn't mean that because you're still in love with them that you really, if they were available and you're available, that you would rush out to get with that person. Because I've come across those people, and they're like, no, it was just, they have compartmentalized their love and emotions for that era or that period of their lives. And they feel, you know, if this person were available today, I don't think that it would work. This is what people have actually said. And I would tend to agree with some of that based on the circumstances, because it would be where if you were with somebody 20, 25 years ago, and you love that person, that was your dream person at the time, then you've grown and you've developed into other areas. And perhaps you've developed and grown apart. And when you think that you can come back together, it could be even less than that. You think that you can come back together. And let me tell you, my book says it all there. After the passion, now what? Once you have that romantic encounter, you know, once the sex gets in there, and, you know, it's like, boom, it's dynamite. And all of a sudden now, when the reality comes into play, then you realize there's a reason why that person and I became exes to each other. And it could be that at the time it was puppy love. Now you think that it could be real love. But it was during that era. And even if it was a couple of years ago, and you're of mature age and mind, I think that those decisions that you make, you probably need to hold on to why you broke up in the first place. Hold on to why it is that you broke up in the first place and leave that alone. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Well, I agree. You do need to look at why you broke up in the first place. But the thing about it is some people have a distorted view of reality, and they do it for various reasons. So sometimes, I can't remember the term. I've actually had one of my best friends tell me I had been guilty of it at one point. Looking back on historical things and having like historical amnesia, so you remember the relationship to be better than it actually was.
Yeah.
So I think that happens. I think people mm-hmm. get caught up in the, oh, this was so good, and I wish we could be back together. But you said something that was key. You have to remember also what it was that tore you apart in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe that people tend to forget that, especially if you're a mature age. And I want to venture to say if you're in your 20s now, I mean, if you're 16, 17, 18, you probably don't know any better. You know, the puppy love stages, you don't know any better. But it doesn't mean or suggest that your childhood sweetheart is not your true love. It doesn't suggest that or infer that. But it's just that you don't really know what the mechanics of love is. Because there are some that have said that love is a feeling. Some say that love is a state of mind. Love is a many different things. You know, but I tend to think that love, you know, as I get older, I'm leaning more towards love is more than just a feeling. I say it's a feeling plus, because I think that love also is a commitment. A commitment sort of solidifies. It's sort of, it's more than the foundation. A commitment to a person is really probably the in my opinion, the icing to the cake. I mean, the finest icing to the cake of a relationship. Because a commitment is when you're upset with that person. I mean, that's those true vows if you look at marriage. Even when you're upset with a person and you're not liking them for the moment, could be days that you don't like them. But in fact, you still love them. You may not feel in love at the time, but that commitment keeps you from walking out that door. That commitment says, you know what, I'll get over this. That commitment says, I'll get through this. That commitment says, you know, although he gets on my nerves, but you know what? He's not bad enough for me to let him go. That commitment says, you know what? I might think that I could do better, but you know what? I'd rather take my risk with her. You know, that commitment says, the words of Luther Vandross, I'd rather be deal with hard times or good times or hard times with the one that I truly love. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'd rather deal with hard times with the one that I really love than good times with somebody who I really don't love. And I think that that's important. Ms. Lee, we're going to actually stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines. Let's go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, give us your take on this, and we're going to get into how to overcome your ex shortly.
Blake, how are you?
Great. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you. I totally agree with what I've been hearing so far. My little two cents might be when it comes to someone being or seeming like they cannot get over their ex, and it's, you know, years might pass and they still dwell on to what they thought they had. I feel like maybe they get stuck someplace in that, in the healing stages of that love that they lost, and some instead of allowing themselves to go through the process of the healing and the different steps, it seemed like they might have gotten stuck in one of those steps and didn't move on. And so they can't get over that ex. But I think if people give themselves enough time and go through the healing process, they will get over, no matter how much they thought they had loved the person that they lost. You know, it might take a while and it might hurt some people more than others, but if they allow themselves to go through the different steps that they have to go through in order to get healing, total healing, I think that will happen. I'm not going to say that they won't sometimes reflect on the love that they lost, or sometimes they won't, you know, have a special feeling, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, they might reminisce, but not to the point where it would be dangerous for them, because if that person cannot get over their ex, I think people like or a person can become harmful to themselves and others if they allow themselves to stay in that situation, stay in that hurting situation, because then they won't want to move on and they can do harm to themselves or to their ex if they allow themselves to get stuck there. And that's how I feel.
Well, I think that that's an interesting perspective, Rose. And I agree. I agree that a person can certainly get stuck in that, and that's not part of the healing process. And I think that they, sometimes you just got to feel the pain, and go through it. Pain is probably, you know, there are certain things that the body does when it's traumatized, and one of the things is that there's going to be pain that comes, you know, and part of that pain at some point is going to ease up, you know, as we heal. As we heal and we believe and we do the things that we need to do to get to a healing point. But if you're going to stay there and just be sour in the pain and do nothing about it, then, of course, the pain is going to rule. The pain is going to persist, and you're going to feel it, and it's going to linger. And you're right, Rose, you may not get over it. Ms. Blake?
I agree. You have to deal with it, and that's what I alluded to earlier on the show when I deal with people who are just stuck, that they have to get unstuck, and they have to face the reality of what things are. And I think you alluded a little bit about the whole self-esteem thing, because some people think it's a matter of low self-esteem. I don't think that's the case with everybody. I think you have people great self-esteem, right, but they still, they're just in love, and they have got to find a way to move forward.
Right, and that's the most difficult part. Rose, we're going to come back to you in just a second, and let me start out, Ms. Blake, and then I'll also ask you, you know, you're saying that they've got to find a way to go forward, to move forward and get over that X or overcome that X. One of the things that I'm going to ask each of you all, one of the things that might help, I think I've heard people often say, well, you know, to get over one person, get another person. My personal opinion on that is, my take on that is, I think that that's probably one of the worst things that you can do is to immediately jump into another relationship. I think that that is very, very dangerous. And I use that term dangerous very seriously because, you know, your emotions are serious. Your emotions, your emotional makeup should be a serious thing that you take really into consideration, because that's, I believe we're spiritual beings having emotional experiences. And I think that that becomes an intricate part of who we are and how we operate, how we function. And if your emotions are out of whack because you're trying to, you know, jump into something that you're not necessarily ready for, in the long run it's going to hurt you more than help you. This is just my take on it. Because now you're trying to hold on to something that you try to, because you're trying to overcome, you're trying to grab straws to hold on to. And then what you're going to do is find yourself comparing that individual that you lost to the person, especially if you're in love with them and you're still in love with them. And you're going to try to make them into what this other person may have been. And even though they may demonstrate behaviors and do things that are completely different, and in some cases better, your heart is still there trying to make this person into that person. I've even heard people say they go from one relationship of getting somebody who looks a certain way to finding someone who looks almost identical to that person. That is, and I'm telling you from personal experience, people that I've known, one guy, his ex-wife left him, and within 6 months, he saw this girl and he pursued her to all ends. Didn't even really love her, but he loved the look that he associated, the connotation that he had for his ex-wife, and tried to, every time he was with her, he made this into his ex-wife. And eventually the lady came to the realization that this is what he was doing, and she left him. She left him. That is really scary. But it took about 3 years before she realized, when she finally saw his ex-wife, and she saw, and now she had this buildup of all the comparisons that he was making. And he even mentioned some of that to this woman. You're not like my ex-wife. My ex-wife was this. My ex-wife was that. And that's all that lady heard. But herself, in this case, her self-esteem was low because she allowed him to make the comparisons, and she stayed there until she just had enough. Rose, let's go to you just for a second and ask the question. How do you feel about somebody jumping into another relationship to get over their ex?
I think I've always thought of that as a no-no, because that's just a rebound, and people are going to get hurt. Okay, so if someone is hurt because they got dumped or they, you know, they lost their ex, and so in order to feel good, they jump in another relationship. Now, it's going to be good initially. You know, this person's going to feel good. They're not going to think much about their ex, maybe. You know, they might be having a good time because they're trying to get over the ex. And they're having a good time with this person. They might feel like they're so much in love with this new person. But after some time has passed, I believe, and they actually truly got over the ex now, they're going to realize more than likely that they're not in love with the new person that they're with. You know, the person served the purpose of helping this person to get over the ex. But now, when this person is truly over their ex, they're going to realize more than likely that they're not truly in love with this person because it was just a rebound. So this new person is going to get hurt. Or this person might feel really badly about hurting the other person's feelings. So he or she might decide, you know what, I'm going to have to stay with this person because this person was good to me when I needed him or her. Now you're hurting yourself because you're not truly in love with this person. I just think it's just a total mess. I think the best thing to do is to give yourself time, get over, get healing, get whatever it is that you need, counseling, you know, truly over your ex before you go into a new relationship, because it's only going to be a disaster if you jump into a new relationship too soon. It's not worth it.
Right.
Thank you. Ms. Blake, give me your take on that.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, it's a tendency that some people do, but it's not the best thing. You know, I talk about in my book, Falling in Love with Me, that if you're not in a relationship at the moment, it's wise to spend some time alone. So particularly those people who are between relationships, because to reflect and to really get to know you. And not just that, you have to kind of get your emotions, particularly I know for females, I can't speak for males, but for females our emotions are so bonded. And if there's been any physical interaction, it's even more so. But even without the physical, we're just by nature creatures that bond. And you need some time to get past that.
Yes, and I agree with you. All right, we have a comment. We're going to start taking some of the comments. And Rose, we'll give you the first comment that's come into the studio. This female writes in, she says, I've had this exact experience of breaking up and immediately getting involved with someone else only to discover that later I broke up with him because I was never really in love with the new guy. And so this ties in with what you're saying, that I think we're all on the same accord with this here in terms of giving yourself some time. Rose, what would you say to this young lady who says, you know, she immediately jumped into a relationship and then she eventually broke up with him because she was never in love with him?
I think hopefully she didn't hurt him or he didn't get hurt as badly as he could have. But it's a good thing that she actually ended with him instead of trailing him along. And now I would say to her, you know, give herself some time before getting into a new relationship. Get the healing. Be truly over the old ex and also over this relationship that she just got out of. And spend some time, as Ms. Blake says, with herself. Date herself. You know, get full healing and love herself, knowing that it's okay to be without a relationship. You know, sometimes people think that if they're not in a relationship, then something must be wrong with them. But we have to know that, no, nothing is wrong with us if we're not in a relationship. We just learn to love us
right.
And appreciate ourselves. And then when we're healthy enough with that, we have more to give when we get in a relationship.
Right.
And it's more healthy for the whole relationship, for both parties.
Yes, I agree with that. Ms. Blake, give us your take on that, Rose.
Well, I was just thinking that, right, it sounds like Rose either has read my book or can write my book, one or the other, because definitely that's exactly what I talk about. You know, I talk about this thing called clean out the closet, and Dr. Walker, you probably know, I've done workshops on that. And it's dealing with getting rid of that emotional clutter that we hold on to sometimes, because we don't just keep baggage, sometimes we keep clutter. So it's not those big things that's glaring, it's those intimate feelings that we hold on to that nobody else can really see. And so being alone and getting to know yourself, it forces you to deal with you. And we have to do that, just as Rose said, to be in a healthy relationship.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's take another one that's come in, and I'll take this one here, and then we'll give it to you, Ms. Blake. This male writes in, he says, I thought I had to be in a relationship all the time and was hurt to spend time in a rebound relationship that was not going anywhere because this was really not what I wanted. It eventually hurt her and caused her tremendous pain. But, you know, in reality, it wasn't what I wanted. So, you know, see, and here's, I'm going to piggyback off of what Rose was saying, you know, but she asked the question from the last comment. She hoped that the person wasn't hurt. How can you not be hurt when you spend some time with somebody and that other party may be all into you, and then you bring this, you become the bearer of bad news that you're breaking off with them because you're, you know, you haven't gotten over your ex. Then why did you bother in the first place? And I'm just saying here that I think that, and I've always said it over the air, people are not being honest. And Ms. Blake, I know you mentioned that in your book too. You know, people are not going to really be honest with you. They just seem to camouflage to get you. And then their getting of you seems to only be a temporary situation. Because once they get you, I mean, you, if you're using somebody, if you're manipulating, the truth will come out. And you're going to be the one that lose out. This is my thought on it. Go ahead, Ms. Blake. We'll give it to you. And then perhaps, Rose, if you have time, we'll give it to you as well.
Correct. You do have to be honest. And I think I agree with everything that you just said. I think it was very well put that people have to be real and stop being superficial. But at the same time, as a life coach, when I do find people who are on the other side of that, that person who says, you know what, I'm really not in love with them, I think they need to be equally as honest, even though it may hurt the other person.
I think that that is so important. So, yeah, even though it may have hurt the other person. Rosa, in your opinion, how important is it to be true to yourself? I mean, here it is. Even though this guy broke off with the girl, our relationship when you're dating, it's risky anyway.
Oh, of course it is risky because you just never know what you're getting. But I think it's very important to be honest. Now, the thing about it is that sometimes you're very honest and the person sees you for who you really are, but sometimes in the beginning stages, people don't normally see what they don't want to see. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but, you know, they feel like, or, well, they can't really be in love right away, but, you know, you have this good feeling about the person, and especially if you really want to be in a relationship, you're tired of being by yourself. You know, people do that, and so they overlook what they're really seeing, and they feel like everything is just in heaven right now, you know, and then time passes and they get together, and then all of a sudden they're seeing what was already there, but now that their eyes are open and they're seeing things that they just don't like. And it's not because the person wasn't always honest. It's just that people sometimes don't want to see what they don't want to see. We just have to be careful.
Absolutely.
When we're going in a new relationship, and we have to be mature about it, not just going into a relationship because someone is just tired of being alone or someone just, you know, want to be going out on dates or, you know, they want to settle down and they just don't care what it is that they're getting. You know, everyone has to make sure, I think it's a good thing to have a checklist, you know what it is that you're looking for in someone and what is negotiable and what is non-negotiable. This way, I think you'll get mostly what you want.
I think that is very important. I believe that is very important. Ms. Blake, did you want to comment on that?
No, I absolutely agree with everything, you know. And I guess if we get back a little bit more to getting over your ex, you know, what are some things you can do to get over your ex? Maybe we want to talk about that a little bit for our listeners.
Yes. Right. We'll take about three more comments. But one of the things I mentioned earlier, I think one of the things you don't want to do is to jump out there and get into another relationship, and we've all agreed on that. Let's go to you, Ms. Blake, and let's ask what are one of the things that, and we'll try to eventually get three from maybe each of us, three things that ways to overcome your ex so people can walk away with something. If you want to tune in to us, if you'd like to comment, just press 1 on your dial and we'll take your call as well. So what I mentioned that the worst thing that I think you can do is to jump into another relationship immediately. What's one of the things that you think that can to overcome your ex or to get over your ex, Ms. Blake?
I believe in distractions. And when you talk about people jumping into another relationship, they do that as a distraction. But I think we need to take on positive distractions, healthy distractions and not unhealthy. So that's an example of unhealthy. But a healthy distraction is pick a new hobby. You know, find something new and different that you've never done and start doing it. You know, you can take a class. I'm not talking about necessarily it could be an academic class, but it could just be some type of craft. You know, if you like photography or start rock climbing or, you know, going to the gym. Do something new and different, something that's going to renew your interest as you're getting to know you. And it will hopefully help distract you from, you know, the routine activities that you might have been doing with that relationship and help pull you away emotionally, help you to get further along emotionally.
I think that that's a good point. Distractions, and I've mentioned that before as well, the importance of taking on good distractions, getting into a gym, very things that you're mentioning. I think that that becomes very important. Let me ask this question. Rose, we're going to throw this out to you. Do you think that, let's say, doing some occasional dating while you're trying to get over your ex, do you think that that's healthy? Ms. Blake, I'll pose that same one to you. I think it might be, but it's a fine line, I'd say. But Rose, let's get your take on it.
Initially, I don't think that would be a good idea. I think you need to spend some time with you and just forget about the dating world for a moment. Because, you know, I feel like sometimes when you start dating, your emotions might get into it. Although you might say, you know what, I don't want anything else. I just want to have a good time going out. But sometimes you might end up meeting someone you're going to date with and realize that you start liking this person. Now your emotions are into this person. You're not over the ex. And it could just be messy. So I just feel like it's time now for you to get to know you, get to know who you are and who you want to be for the next relationship. Prepare yourself, you know, get to know you, work on things that you need to work on for you. You know, you might not like certain things about yourself. You know, try to fix that. You might not like your weight. Hey, like you said, get in the gym. Start working out and doing things to enhance yourself, enhance your life. I also think that one of the things that you can do to get over your ex would be to think on the things that caused the breakup in the first place. You know, what are the things that you did not like about him or her? Think about those things. Is that something you want to get back into? You might find that when you think about those things, maybe write them down, you know, and look back at it. Okay, you know what? He or she was this. I cannot see myself living with this or who treat me this way, or I can't see myself for the rest of my life living in a situation like this. I think if you were to do that, it might help you to put things into perspective where now you can make a healthy decision. Okay, if it was an emotional decision or you're emotional about the breakup, you might still think you're in love with this person, but when you write these things down, the pros and the cons, as to why it is not healthy to be with that person, it might help you to get over that person better or faster.
I agree with you. I like your spiel on not necessarily jumping into the dating scene, even if it is occasional dating, because, Rose, that makes a lot of sense, because the emotions can play tricks on you, and you may find yourself, you might think that you're strong, that, I'm just going out to have some fun. You get to laughing, and then you start to miss what you initially had in the relationship that you had with your ex. And, I mean, even the seasons can start to approach, the holiday season, your birthday, Valentine's Day, all of these, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And, you know, you start getting lonely, you start missing him or her, and then, you know, you're trying to find a substitute. It's just not going to, and that's a good point. You know, I said that occasional dating might be good, but then not everybody can be up to that. And you know, I probably want to rescind on that. And I probably say, Rose, what you suggested is probably the best way. If you don't think that you can handle it, then by all means, don't start dating. Because if you start dating the same person, and he or she says, well, let's go out this week. And then they like you. And all of a sudden now, a week later, well, you know what, I got these tickets, let's go here, I want to surprise you. And you're starting to feel like, oh, I don't want to disappoint this person, they've already bought these tickets. And then every week now for 6 weeks, you're going out. And the more time you start to spend with a person, the more you're going to start to bond and have the expectation. It's just like if somebody calls you 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning, you're going to have that the next morning when you don't hear from them at 7 o'clock, now it's 7:15, it's 7:30, hey, what's wrong with that? You're thinking about them. So that's how some people win your heart over, is because they do these things and it becomes an expectation on your part. And then when they withdraw, even the slightest withdrawal, then that's reason for alarm. And then you find yourself, I had no intentions of really falling in love with this person, but, you know, I've gotten so used to them calling me every morning. Now all of a sudden, you know, hey, I didn't hear from you this morning. What happened? Are you okay? It's now 7:45. Is it, you know, oh, well, he says, well, I was busy. I'm sorry. I blah, blah, blah. And then another day goes by, and he doesn't call again at 7 o'clock, 7:15. And now it's like, what's going on with him? Now that expectation starts to kick in, and you're, you know, you were strong initially, you thought. But now, because you're having that expectation and it's not coming through, now, you know, by the third day, and then he calls you shortly, but by the third day now you're starting to wonder, what's up with this guy? You know what? All men are just alike, or all women are this or that. And before you know it, you're like, oh, man. But now next week comes, you don't hear from him. That's how people win you over. They bait, B-A-I-T, they bait you. And they get you under their skin, or get you into their claw, their web. And then when you're expecting, they withdraw. And then that makes you want them, desire them. I mean, it's a game. It is. Ms. Blake, give me your take on it.
Yeah, I do think that's an approach that some people do use. And then I also think, I mean, I haven't been in the dating world for a little bit now. I think that's just that person who starts to get attached because they're getting a phone call every morning. That's on them. I'm serious. Because I guess the older I get in a dating world, I've been single for probably about 10 years now. And so I've come to realize that just because I click with somebody or somebody clicks with me and we communicate on an ongoing basis doesn't make for a relationship. That just may be a good friend, or, you know, you have reasons and seasons. That's kind of my philosophy, that people come into your life for reasons and seasons, blessings and lessons. Again, that may be a person that, this is just my humble opinion, as you would say, may be a little immature with their feelings. You know, it's like that kid in middle school that everybody that smiles at them thinks that they're in love with them.
Well, you know, Ms. Blake,
now, if there's
a
real connection, that's different.
Right. But on this one here, I'm I lean in a different direction on that one. I tend to disagree with that one because I think that I don't think, and this is just my opinion, just as you presented yours, I think that I don't think it's a sign of immaturity, and I do hear you're saying that it's on them, but I think that when a person may find that they're vulnerable, they think that they're strong. They're not clear, and maybe that is some immaturity on their part. But I'm thinking that, you know, that they are mature enough. And it sounds like I might be talking out of two sides of my mouth, and I'm trying not to do that. But I'm thinking that that mature person who thought that they were strong enough to handle these morning calls, and all of a sudden now the calls start to dwindle, and you have that, you know, it because it's not just a friendship, you may have gone out and dated, and there was even a lip exchange where there was kissing, you know, a passionate kiss. Now that's kind of crossing the line. I mean, if there was no touching other than a handshake, which is highly unlikely these days, then I might lean to say, well, okay, but then I think the danger is having the expectation or desiring someone to call you every morning. When you, if you're going to be strong, then you tell that person, look, this is not a good idea that we communicate every morning. I can appreciate your interest, your concern. Thank you so much, but I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. In fact, you know, I will, you know, I may check in with you from time to time. I may do that. But I don't want you to expect anything. Because with expectations start to come demand. And that entering into a relationship that's sometimes unwarranted. Let's go to Rose just for a second and find out. So I tend to rescind and think that, you know, that occasional dating can be a dangerous thing. We got about 8 minutes, and let me go to some more of the comments. Go ahead, Rose. We're speaking to the issue. In fact, let's go here with another comment, and let's go with unless you have a rebuttal, Ms. Blake.
No, I just think again it has to be clear expectations, and it's just a matter of clear expectations. Again, there's nothing wrong with a morning call. Anybody that's getting that situation doesn't know how to get out of it. I can help you. It's communication, and it's just not, you know, people getting all, to put it as younger people say, all up in their feelings about somebody calling. There's nothing wrong with calling, but don't come with a set of expectations. It doesn't mean you're engaged.
Okay. You know, and I'm thinking, and let me personalize it here. If I'm trying to get over my ex and a young lady expressed an interest in me and I've dated her a couple of times, and I've clearly let her know that, you know what, I'm still in love with my ex, and I think that I'm not really ready for anything serious. And the time sometimes when you mention the fact that there is an ex that you're trying to get over someone, I think whether it's a man or a woman, they tend to use that as leverage. If they are interested in you and being that next one, then they're going to try to go overboard and hopefully get you to forget about that ex. I think that that's what they're trying to do. So they try to find a way to ease in and manipulate their way in so that they can get in there and hopefully to try to get you. And then hopefully they can, I think their mission is to try to get you to overcome that ex. And I think that can clearly backfire. Rose, let's go to you. Do you think that can backfire as well?
Oh, certainly. I think that's a mistake that people make. And I think more so women than men, because women feel like, a lot of women feel like they can change the man. So they might think that, you know what, if I treat him right, then he will get over her. I think that's a big mistake. He might probably go along with it for a while and maybe use her as much as he can. But I think a woman should listen to what a man says. If he says that he is not over his ex, I think that's a cue for you to get away from him.
Absolutely.
Leave him alone, let him get over. But, you know, if time passes and he happens to get over her, and he wishes to locate you, and if you're still available and you still feel like you want to get in with him, then fine. But I think the best he can do is to give him the space he needs to get over that person. You know, so that's how I feel.
I agree with that. I think that is so important. And even if it's a woman, if you're trying to get with a woman and she says, well, you know, I'm really not ready for this. I'm still going through something with my ex. I think, too, Rose, I think you were right on point. You got to leave that person alone. Give them the space. And then I would tend to even go a step further and say, you know what, the fact that I knew that they were, it took them a while to get over their ex, I can respect that. But I'm not so sure if I want to, if they call me a couple months later, I'm not so sure if I want to get involved with them. I'm not so sure if I want to get involved with them because I don't think that you can, if you're with somebody for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and now, you know, they're trying to contact you inside of 6 months, they're not over that ex. Ms. Blake, what's your take on that? Then we're going to take these other comments, and then we're going to wrap up the show. We're almost out of time.
It just depends on the individual, Dr. Walker. I do believe that. You know, if you're talking about within 6 months, but if it's been, it depends on the length of time. The one thing I will say is listen carefully to their speech. And if they sound like, you'll know by how they refer to their ex and how often they refer to their ex, if they're still
right
there. And if you hear that, then leave them alone. Give them space.
That is the best thing that you can do. Give them the gift of what? Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes. Yeah. Here's a female. Her comment. We're going to take just three more comments that will come into the studio. This female writes in. She says, this has happened to my friend girl recently, and I told her to give herself some time to heal. Instead, she jumped into a relationship immediately, and after after 6 months, she tried to break it off. But the guy is madly in love with her, and now it's a serious problem of stalking. And she recently took out a restraining order against this guy. Isn't that amazing? You see, that's the other, that's the dangerous part that I was referring to. That sometimes you can jump out there, and then you let this person into your world. And all of a sudden now you realize that, you know, when you wake up and come to your realization that you're not in love with this person and you never really were. But it's almost as if you were using them. And now they're not going to be used. That is dangerous. Ms. Blake, you got a take on that?
Well, I just have advised single people, you have to be wise. So, you know, I was talking about the phone call. I guess I'm still back on that. You don't tell them where you live. You don't let people in your world like that. And then you're careful. You know, a lot of people careful about what number you give them. I mean, you just have to. It's not playerish. It almost sounds like it. But it's being single. And you do things to protect yourself. So then if you know, these new smartphones, if they start stalking, and hopefully you haven't been you haven't let them know where you live, block the call so they can stop calling you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, after you communicate with them, communicate first. I do say that. Don't just block it out of the blue. You have to be man or woman enough to say, look, I really don't think we should talk anymore, you know, and then block the call.
Right. You know, you can always get hung up out there. I mean, and you know what? One of the short versions I can just tell people, go look at the movie The Perfect Guy.
Right.
The movie,
right.
Guy.
And absolutely.
And and let me tell you, if you really want to just, you know, overcome your ex, go look at that movie, The Perfect Guy, and see if you really are on course. I think that's a good movie for people to really take stock into. The Perfect Guy.
Right.
All right.
Right. That'll help you out real quick.
It'll help you out real quick. Let me take these other two comments and we'll end. Rose, how about taking a shot at this one here? This male writes in, he says, I met a woman after my ex broke up with me. The woman was really a great woman. Unfortunately, I could not get into her because of my feelings for my ex. We hung out for about 2 years, and I eventually went back to my ex. Now the woman is pregnant and having my baby, but I'm not going back to her because of the baby. I love my ex, and I'm going to stay with her. What do you think? Did she take a risk by getting with this guy?
A big risk. And that,
yes,
that
she did.
That just goes to show that it's best to get the healing first. Don't jump into, because it gets messy, and this is one way it gets messy. Now he's back with his ex, have a baby with the other person on the way. You know how messy is that?
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. Ms. Blake, go ahead, give you a shout out on that.
Well, basically, he did the same thing. You know, you have to protect yourself. Don't be so quick and listen to what people say. And, you know, and him, you know, that's lessons learned.
Okay, just quickly here, this female says, she writes in, she says, in reference to tonight's topic, how to overcome your ex, I got involved in church and other things to keep myself busy so that I could overcome my ex. It worked for me because I found myself so tired at the end of the evening that I would fall asleep before I knew it. Okay, whatever works. Just quickly here, Rose, we're going to start with you, Ms. Blake, and then I'll give my thought in 10 seconds or less. What's another way a person may overcome their ex or get over them?
Start a project. That would be time-consuming, and you won't have time to think about, you know, anything else. Start a project. And also, help some other people. Put yourself mm-hmm. into helping someone else. This way, you won't have time to think about yourself because you're helping someone else.
Okay, Ms. Blake, Rose, you have definitely been listening to this show quite a bit because those are the exact things that I myself would say. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
And I just was going to piggyback on that because I actually was going to say, get in a mentoring program.
Yeah.
Look for programs out there that are looking for volunteers and help. And that way you have a connection with somebody and you feel needed and you have that human interaction. And hopefully you can get your mind off of the person that no longer loves you.
Okay. And in addition to what you all have said, and I will piggyback, I think everything that has been presented this evening are beautiful things. And people should go in, and if you're having a struggle trying to overcome your ex, I think you should listen. You know, those people who may have listened for the first time, go in and listen to this show again in its entirety. The show airs 20 minutes after we give the live broadcast. And if you're not going through something, tell somebody to tune into this show to listen to it because it could very well help them. In addition, I want to just say, to piggyback off what you all are saying, I say to get involved. And if it's really eating at you, get into a very difficult, take a class. You know, whether it's a Spanish class, a biology, physics class, take a class that's something that you're not as comfortable with, a new class. And let me tell you something, that thing, especially trying to learn a new language, and that can not only become exciting, but it can become something that, you know, you talk about distractions, positive distractions, that can be a very good distraction. I would say that would probably be one of the things on the list, is to get involved and maybe trying to learn another language. I think you'll enjoy it. You know what, on that note, I want to thank Rose and Ms. Blake for tuning in with us this evening. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, we do apologize. We ask that you continue to tune in live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show, which airs every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you bypass this Friday, join us again live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.